I remember the exact weight of the air in Julian's office that Tuesday. It was thick, smelling of expensive espresso, and that sterile, overpriced wood polish they use in the 8th arrondissement to make everything feel more permanent than it actually is. Outside the window, Paris was doing its usual gray rhythmic dance, but inside, the silence was deafening. Julian was leaning back in his Hermes leather chair, looking at me with that specific brand of paternalistic pride that always made my skin crawl. He pushed a single sheet of paper across the desk. It wasn't a memo. It wasn't a performance review. It was the contract for the senior vice presidency of global operations. It was everything I had spent 10 years, 3 burnt-out relationships, and a significant portion of my soul trying to reach. And all I could think about was how much I wanted to vomit. You have to understand how we got there. For 3 years, I was the ghost in the machine at Lefebvre & Associates. I was the one who smoothed over the disastrous merger in Lyon. I was the one who pulled the all-nighters when the board was screaming for blood. And for 3 years, Julian, my mentor, my supposed champion, had kept me exactly where I was. He told me I wasn't ready. He told me I lacked the gravitas for the C-suite. He watched me drown in the workload of 3 people while he took the credit in the boardroom, patting me on the back in private like a favorite pet. He'd say, "Celine, your time is coming. Just trust the process." But the process was a meat grinder, and I was the prime cut. The turning point wasn't some grand cinematic moment. It was a Tuesday night, 3 weeks before the offer, when I was buried under a mountain of compliance filings that Julian had forgotten to mention to the regulators. I found a series of email threads buried in a subfolder. It wasn't just incompetence. It was a setup. Julian had been siphoning off book expenses for his personal vineyard in Bordeaux, and he'd been doing it under my digital signature for 18 months. The realization didn't hit me like a lightning bolt. It was more like a slow, cold realization that I wasn't his protege. I was his contingency plan. If the auditors ever came knocking, the paper trail led straight to my desk. I was the ambitious girl who had overstepped. I was the fall person. I spent those 3 weeks playing the part of the loyal soldier, scrubbing my own records, quietly gathering every piece of evidence that proved he had bypassed my terminal to authorize those transfers. I didn't go to HR. In a firm like ours, HR is just the cleaning crew for the partners. I waited. I knew him. I knew his ego. He knew I'd found something. He could feel the shift in the atmosphere. So he did what men like Julian always do when they feel the floor shaking. They try to buy you. So there it was. The VP title. A 30% raise. A bonus structure that would have cleared my mortgage in 18 months. He sat there, smiling, waiting for me to thank him. He actually said it. He said, "Celine, I've decided you've finally matured into the role. I want us to be a team. Forever." He emphasized the word forever like a threat disguised as a promise. He thought the title would act as a gag order. He thought that by giving me a seat at the table, I'd be too invested in the company's survival to ever blow the whistle on his little vineyard fund. He wasn't offering me a career. He was offering me a partnership in a crime. I hadn't even realized I was committing. I looked at the pen. It was a heavy, gold-plated thing. If I signed that paper, I was safe in the short term. I'd be rich, powerful, and respected. But I'd also be owned. I'd be tied to his sinking ship. And the moment the wind changed, he'd use that new seniority of mine to prove I was the one in charge of the accounts all along. The promotion wasn't a reward for my hard work. It was the final piece of his defense strategy. It was a trap wrapped in gold leaf. I didn't cry. I didn't scream. I didn't even give him the satisfaction of seeing me angry. I just pushed the paper back across the desk. I told him, "Julian, the price of my silence is actually much higher than this." The look on his face changed instantly. The mask of the benevolent mentor slipped. And for a split second, I saw the panicked, aging fraud underneath. He started to stutter, trying to play the "we're family" card, but I just stood up. I told him I'd already sent a synchronized data dump to 3 different external servers and a very specific contact at the Financial Regulatory Authority. I told him my resignation was effective immediately, and that if he ever tried to blackball me in this industry, the password to those files would be shared with the press. I walked out of that office and didn't look back. I didn't pack my desk. I didn't say goodbye to the assistants who had watched me bleed for that firm. I just walked down the stairs. I couldn't stand the thought of being trapped in the elevator and out into the Paris air. People think walking away from a dream job is hard. It's not. Not when you realize the dream was actually a nightmare someone else was getting paid for. I left the title, I left the money, and I left the prestige of being a vice president at a firm that was rotting from the inside out. Sometimes, the only way to win the game is to refuse to play. Julian thought he was giving me the gift of a lifetime, but the only real gift in that room was the moment I realized I didn't need his permission to be powerful. I walked toward the metro, feeling lighter than I had in a decade. I was unemployed. I was probably going to be in legal depositions for a year. And I had just walked away from more money than my parents had made in their entire lives. And for the first time in my career, I was actually clean.